Good morning, and welcome to Sound Up, a radio ministry of Bethany Lutheran Church on 96.7 The Eagle, WLOI-WCOE, right here in LaPorte, Indiana. I'm Pastor Meyer, and it's so good to have you join us this morning. We're in a series called Truth Alive, and we're so happy that you could join us for this. We also have services at Bethany at 8 a.m. and 9:30 every Sunday morning. And we will be having Ash Wednesday services coming up this week. And there will be a drive through ash, imposition of ashes from 7 to 8 in the morning. So you can drive in to our parking lot, 102 G Street, corner of 1st and G. And you can pull in the parking lot and you get the imposition of ashes. And then in the evening, we're going to have an Ash Wednesday service of Holy Communion. So if you're interested in coming, please reach out to us, 219-369-3530, 219-363-8060. So we thank you for your financial support, too, that helps us to keep this program on the air. You can text Bethany Church to 77977, and that's a great way to donate. Or you can send a check or money order to Bethany Church, 102 G Street, LaPorte, Indiana, 46350. And we appreciate that so much. We begin as we begin all things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, let us lay aside our personal agendas and preferences so we can be fully committed to your calling for us. Transform us, so that we may be the very presence of Jesus in our world, bringing blessings and redemption for the glory of God. In your name we pray. Amen. The first lesson that I'm going to share with you comes from the first letter of Peter. And in it we find encouragement to stay the course, to understand the truth is alive and with us. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Obviously, he was writing to people who were going through some very difficult things, and maybe today you're experiencing some of that. And we hear from the Gospel of St. Matthew, when Jesus took Peter and James and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, and this Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday, they were in awe of what they saw. It was the very power of God displayed. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. People ask me all the time, how's the church doing after COVID? Today is part 5 of Truth Alive. And honestly, I think we all the churches buckled down, did our best, went online, did drive-in services, Zoom Bible studies, all kinds of things. We managed. Not well all the time, but we managed. Attendance took a hit. People began to like their couches and easy chairs more than they did the pews at church, evidently. We handed out pizzas at the high school. We had frozen meals that we gave away. We sponsored community events that were quite successful and brought a lot of people together safely. But toward the end, there was a tiredness and a weariness that so many people had who were trying just to do good things but just were worn out after 2 years of doing it. And there was another pattern that emerged that I began to see. I began to see so many of my friends' lives affected. So many people who started with good intentions, but over the course of 2 years, they began to give up on things that were important to God. I read about people who had been married for three decades, and they just called it quits. I watched people in local churches decide, I'm done with church, or the church is done. I'm not going to continue to be faithful with my involvement at my local church. I saw a pastor say, that's it, I'm done. Church is closed. I heard about so many other people that gave up on careers and callings. They just dropped out of the workforce. Maybe even you feel some of that tension. There's a pervasive exhaustion or tiredness, a weariness that has that just remains like a really bad social hangover. God has a message for this generation, a word of hope. And a word of encouragement, that no matter how hard it is, there is a way forward. You, my friends, can be that kind of person who shows up when it matters most. So today's message is titled, Rule Number One, Just Show Up. If you were here, I would hand you an outline so you could follow along. But I'll try and point out some things and Bible passages for you to join me in reading. I want to invite you to listen carefully to the scripture we share. I hope that you can sink your heart into this and it will encourage you today. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. It was a letter that literally changed my life when I was in college. I wouldn't be here today if it were not for that letter. Paul was writing this letter to help the people in Galatia understand the grace of God. He wanted them to know that regardless of what they had done in the past, regardless of their brokenness, it was Jesus' death, burial, resurrection that gives everyone hope. Hope that we could be free from the power of sin and death. Hope that we could have a relationship with God that wasn't based on religious rules or how good we could be. Hope we could have a relationship with God that was based on His grace through faith, which itself is a gift. So Paul describes this all throughout the book of Galatians. But then, at the end of the book, Paul gets into this concept of personal responsibility and obedience. And he wants the people in Galatia to understand. And by the way, this applies to us today. This is God's truth alive for us, that grace does not remove personal responsibility. Grace is not an opportunity to disobey and disregard God. Grace, instead, is a motivation to live the life that God has called us to live. And Paul makes these statements and says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant, or reap what you sow. I want to read that to you now from Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Galatians 6:9. Now, Paul is saying, whatever you do, giving, planting, sowing, it will return to you. So you know, people who live greedy lives, their world and their relationships will shrink over time. And people who live generous lives, their world gets larger and their relationships grow. So when you sow joy, peace, and kindness into the lives of others, that returns to you. But if you sow bitterness, anger, selfishness, and greed, you'll get that back too. And Paul is saying that we can't be deceived. We've got to recognize God has structured the world in a sense where there is sowing and there is reaping. Now, this isn't the same as karma. Sometimes you hear that term. Karma teaches that if you're good, something good's going to happen to you. This is not the same. This is about sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is you pouring your life based on the way that God designed you and structured His creation, and you get back based on what you pour out. Paul then continues this thought. He says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, they will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So notice how he's comparing and contrasting. He's saying that when you live a life to please your selfish interest and you keep living that brokenness, then death and decay comes as a result. But when you live to please the Spirit of God, when you wake up every day and you say, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, my service be pleasing to you, or some such intent, that comes from faith. In return, there is a harvest of everlasting life that will last from now through all eternity. It's almost like he's saying, sow, baby, keep it going, keep sowing with your life. But you wonder sometimes, when I don't see any harvest, I start to wonder, is that law of sowing and reaping really true? And Paul makes this statement, this one verse, which is so crucial for the life of a follower of Jesus. Listen to what he says. He said, let us not get tired of doing what is good. Do you ever get tired of doing good? You get tired of investing in other people when they don't respond the way you thought they might? Let us not get tired of doing what is good. For at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. He's saying that if you persevere through difficulty, if you continue to put that one foot in front of the other, when you show up Sunday after Sunday or Monday after Monday, even when you might not feel like it, maybe even when you feel like quitting at times, there is a harvest that God is going to bring into your life, a harvest of blessing. Keep showing up. Do not quit. And I would say this to all the Christians out there, hang in there, no matter what. Now, implicit in this passage, there are three truths that I want to share with you. The first one is this. We are going to look at things, and it involves pervasiveness. It feels like everything in our life. But something that is pervasive is not necessarily permanent. Okay, make a mental note of that. Whatever you or I are going through is just a season of life. Now, what is a season? Well, it means that there's an expiration date to every season. Now, you could use other terms. We could call it the pace of life, the cadence of life, the cycles of life, the period of time. But the best word, I think, to use here with that planting and harvesting kind of thinking is a season. It fits biblically. Some of us here at Bethany have been through several seasons together since I came in 1987. We see them in our family. We see them in our church. We see them in our work. There's so much history that continues to be built. And there's a reality when we embrace it. It changes the way we see our seasons. So, A, in every season of life, there are gifts. There is the grind. And there is the grief. And when we stop and count the blessings, I begin to understand that God is constantly providing different and varied blessings. But at the same time, in every season, there are going to be some hard things that I have to endure. It's kind of like those of us when we were young parents. Maybe you hold the child for the first time in your hands and you think, oh, could it get any better than this? And as a grandparent, I can tell you, yes, it gets better. But when at night or 2 a.m. in the morning and the baby is whining and crying and you're trying to change diapers, and it's the 10th night in a row getting 2 hours sleep, you think, could it get any harder than this? See, life comes with gifts, and it comes with the grind, and it also comes with griefs. Some are small, and some are big. Sometimes when you're in a certain season, it's really hard to see if that season will ever end. But God, today, wants you to understand that the griefs that you're experiencing right now will pass when your life is lived in Him. In 1 Peter, there are these words, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That's the good news of Jesus. So no matter where you are in your journey, by faith in Jesus, His death on the cross for your sins, His resurrection from the dead, you and I can have a relationship with God, and you can live in this broken, dying world with a living hope. There's an inheritance, Peter says, that is kept in heaven for you. Now, there's another aspect to this. This is B. You may wonder if this pervasive feeling will be permanent. It may feel pervasive when you're in a season of grind or grief, but it's never permanent. It's never going to last forever. There's always going to be a moment where that season is going to finish, and God will renew us with hope. God gives us comfort in trials. And one of the ways that He comforts us is to help us understand there's an expiration date to each season. So there in this passage in 2 Corinthians, he says, that's why we never give up, because we know our bodies, they may be dying. But in the midst of our bodies decaying over the course of our lives, our spirits can be renewed. We can be renewed by the Spirit of God, no matter what our age may be. You're being formed and shaped by your character and your personality and spirit, no matter what your age, 8 or 80. He's saying, for the present troubles are small and won't last very long. There will be a different season in your life. We sometimes walk around with a kind of lens over our eyes, and all we see is right in front of us. But the Holy Spirit directs Paul to say, lift your eyes, lift your vision, to realize that what you're going through right now is small and it's temporary. It's small and temporary compared to what is ahead of you. There's a reward for those who are faithful during times of trial. He goes on, so do we don't look at our troubles. Isn't it true that we narrow the lenses through which we see things to what we see right in front of us most of the time? But instead he says, lift up our eyes to the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. That is hope for today and for tomorrow. So if you're in the midst of a season where you want to give up, it's just been a grind, or in your season of grief, realize that this is not going to last forever. And God will eventually give an expiration date to our struggles and difficulties. Now I want to turn to some words James was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit. James 1, verses 2 through 4. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." This is one of the hardest verses for me to embrace. There's so many moments in life where James is saying there are all kinds of trials. Somehow in the midst of that, you're supposed to consider it an opportunity for joy. So number two, each season makes a difference and matters. He says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now, how many of you know somebody that's 45, 50 years old physically, but they're 14 years old emotionally? We all know a couple. And then there's this sense in which a lot of people grow up physically, but they don't grow up spiritually. So they stay immature in faith. They have 1 year of following Jesus that they've just repeated 40 times. And that's because when we go through trials, if we don't embrace the fact that every season matters, we will miss what God is trying to do in us and through us. Each season makes a difference and matters. James writes, "Let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So we embrace the trials of life because God is using it to cultivate something in us that changes us and allows us to be used by God. So when a person is born and they grow into their teens, the first thing that they're doing is preparing. So the big theme of our teen years is preparation for life. And then when you get in your 20s, you're training. In your 20s, it's such an important time to read as many books as you can read, to learn as much as you can, to find mentors and ask questions, to do everything you can to absorb like a sponge. And when you're going through your 30s, you're building. You start to build a life, you build a marriage, you build a career. This is the decade where most people buy a home, unless, of course, they live in California or New York. And once you get past your 30s, then you get into the season where you start to master things. The 40s is about mastering. You start to master your craft. You narrow your focus. You say no to some things and yes to others. You begin to know more clearly what God wants. Because 40s is that decade when you look back and you've come a long way. But then you look forward and you still got a long way to go. And then there are a lot of people that they've strived their whole lives and they've thought they'd be further along in their 40s. So they go off and they find a new course. They get a new career, sometimes a new way of life, and they find endurance as a part of their 40s. In the 50s, you're harvesting. You've invested. You're loving. You're serving. You're the next generation coming along. You've harvested what you've planted in your children, and in your service and in your ministry, and hopefully in the kingdom of God through your giving. And in your 60s, you get a chance to do something like guiding others. So now you're starting to come alongside people, teach, mentor, help. You get to encourage others. You get to share wisdom. And then in your 70s, well, when I hit 70, I'm supposed to be like Yoda. Anyway, seasons, each of them are important and meaningful. I want you to take a look at John 9, verse 4, which reads, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Now, please note, there is internal work and external work. You see, God is at work right now in you and through you. But also in every season, you might miss how God is trying to form and shape your character. Listen again to the verse that I just read. "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work." Jesus is saying that there is a window for all work. And God wants you to do that work, both in you and through you. There's an internal work that God wants you to do, and there's an external work that God wants you to do. And he doesn't want us to miss that window. There is growth and study like the Lenten study that we're going to have. And there's external work in the needs of things that need to get done. That's finding ways you can serve or ways that you can enlarge your giving or inviting others to share the good news. But there's one final thing that I want to finish on. Always remember, there's a harvest that is ahead. No matter what season of life you are in, remember there is hope. And at the end of our struggles, there will be a harvest from God. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing." There's a harvest that God wants to bring into your life and into your future. And it will only happen when you remain faithful today. In 22 days, I turn 70. I become Yoda. It's a very new season of life in many ways. I'm not training for an ultra marathon anymore, but I'm praying for a harvest. And I want to encourage you. There's some people who look back at their life as a sprint. They just keep sprinting, 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 and they're exhausted. And God is saying, there's a way that you can run all the way to the finish line. You can stand before the living God, and you hear the phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. You can be a person that perseveres because you showed up every day. You can know that there is a harvest ahead. There's a crown of righteousness for those who endure. There's a reward from your heavenly Father. For every tear you cry, and every moment that you pour yourself out, and all the good you do, and nobody sees it, the God of the universe sees it and he rewards it. He blesses the faithful and the obedient. So my challenge, my encouragement to you is this. Do not give up. Never, never, never throw in the towel. There are many seasons of life. There are gifts and there is the grind and there are the griefs. They may seem pervasive, but they are not permanent. Each season makes a difference and matters. So pray for the upcoming harvest. The enemy wants you to quit, to give up. He tells you, oh, if you quit, it won't hurt anymore. If you just give up right now, it's going to be much easier on you. He'll highlight all the benefits of quitting. He'll diminish all the benefits of perseverance. But your Heavenly Father wants to lift up the reward of perseverance. He wants you to see an image of yourself that is filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. He wants you to get a vision of your life that is generous and fruitful. There is power in perseverance. And in regret, there's just greater pain. See, the pain of quitting, the pain of throwing in the towel, the pain of regret is always greater than the pain of perseverance. Paul offers us this prayer. I pray from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. God is saying, I want to give you the power to persevere. Today, the Spirit of God can give you exactly what you need to keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep showing up so that you can be kind, a person that gets to the end of the race and hears those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Once again, this is Pastor Meyer reminding you that if you have any prayer concerns that you'd like to pray us to pray with you, text or call 219-369-3530 or 219-363-8060. Let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his arms enfold you with his love. May his hands uplift you with his strength. And may his cross lead you in his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks for joining me for Sound Up, and may God bless you until we meet again. Bye for now.